Welcome to Twat Tech episode 48. Today is December 27th, 2005. I'm your host, DJ Dossman. And today we're going to talk about video technology, video cameras, different things you can look at for those. I guess just to intro a little bit here, it's not really December 27th for me while I'm recording this. In 48 hours' time, I'm going to be on a plane heading to Europe to do some snowboarding in Austria and do a little bit of traveling for a couple weeks. I will return to the United States in early 2006. So, anyway, I really couldn't come up with a good subject just off the top of my head, so this is just something that I knew about that I thought might be technical enough to interest some folks out there. So, okay, let's say you're going to do some type of video program, or maybe you just want to buy a camcorder for home movies or something. What kind of technologies are there to look at? What kind of things are there out there right now? For some of the cheaper consumer-grade cameras, some of the things you can look at or that you would compare against one another is like tape technology. What kind of imaging technology is it used, such as is a single CCD sensor? Is it a three CCD sensor? Of course, that would be one sensor for each primary color of light or whatever you want to call that. We'll apologize for being Sony-centric. However, I really have a lot of experience with Sony cameras, so I'm just going to focus on those. Certainly other cameras that are good, if you have good experiences with other brands and types of cameras, that's certainly, use your own personal experience and judgment, definitely. But anyway, what kind of tape media and stuff is out there? Well, there's, you can definitely go with that old VHS-C, which is basically, you know, you can put it in an adapter and slap it in your VCR and it works. There's digital 8mm, which is so the successor to the old Hi8 cameras that Sony made. Some things, VHS-C just is, well, quite frankly, it sucks. I really highly recommend any of the digital cameras over a VHS-C camera, unless you're getting a good deal on it or something of that nature. There are just so many benefits to having an actual digital camera or any other type of camera than VHS-C. So, okay, now that I've picked on that, Digital 8, well, it's the nice advantage if you have if you've previously owned Hi8 cameras from Sony or other brands. The nice thing about a Digital 8 is it'll read all your analog Hi8 tapes, and it'll give you, if say you want to do editing and you've got FireWire or something on your laptop, of course, the Digital 8 cameras have FireWire connections, or I'm sorry, 1394 for non-Mac users. Basically, it lets you digitize all your analog tapes on the fly through the digital camera. It's a very handy little feature you can use with those cameras. So there's definitely some room for using those cameras. That's actually, if you're familiar with me, DOSMan, and the projects I've been involved with, the Packet Sniffers and Kitchen and whatnot. I mean, the first episode of the Packet Sniffers we did all in a Hi8. After we'd shot episode one, I had actually purchased a Digital 8 camera and used that to transfer the media to the computer for editing. So, you know, the older, you know, some of the older technology is still useful, but if you're looking at a brand new camera, no history of older tapes you've got to be compatible with or anything, I tell you what, Mini DV is wonderful. It's a nice, small little tape. You get an hour of recording time or more, depending on what your camera supports. It's really good. There's a couple new camcorder technologies on the market here over the last couple of years. First one is the mini DVD recorder cameras. Okay, I'm just going to come out and say, avoid these like the plague. If you're serious about doing video work of any kind, and you're more than a soccer mom looking to record some of your child's conquests on the sports field, I don't see that these have much of a market outside of the base consumer that knows nothing about video. And no offense to anyone, if they do have one and they like it, Okay, you get 20 minutes of good quality video on a disc. Sure, they advertise you can get 60 minutes, but the reduced quality of video that you get when you record in the extended recording mode sucks. The cameras, of course, I have a problem with recording to a disc or a CD while I'm holding this device and shaking and walking around and whatever. You don't have to bump a CD burner very hard to throw it off. So I can't believe that these things have stabilization technology that completely cure, you know, a bad burn or something. They must have done a pretty good job to make it get it out to the field, but I don't know. I just don't have a whole lot of faith in these things. And not only that, I will admit I have no personal first-hand experience with these, other than playing with it in the store. But from what I've read and the magazines, even the magazines that try to give these things positive reviews, it's basically, well, if you look out for that feature and you don't mind this problem and that problem and all this other issues with these cameras, they're good cameras. And I'm saying, no, avoid them like the plague. Mini DV. Unless you're going for an even higher tape standard. Tape is not going away. I'm going to make a prediction right here and right now. At the very end of 2005, tape will be around for at least one more decade in a serious form. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be a fool in a couple of years, but I'm seriously believe tape is not going away. It's been with us for the last 30 or 40 years in one way or another. It's not going anywhere. The next technology that has a serious chance of getting rid of tape is the hard drive based camcorders. I have not played with these at all, but just my own initial reaction to these is it looks promising. I have not had any chance to really look at the technology very well and see what they're doing, but I mean, should be a pretty sound technology, with the exception of, I think tape might still be a little bit more reliable because you don't have to, if you drop a camcorder, you know, or pound it or something, you know, it's just a tape, you know, moving over a head. Well, the hard drive might be a little bit more sensitive, but then again, I've done some pretty horrible things to laptops and had my hard drive survive, so, you know, hard drive based camcorder might be reliable enough to replace tape. That's a review of some of the different tape technologies, and we can move on with some other things. What's another difference between, let's say you've got all these mini DV cameras to compare? Of course, there's things like some of them might be cheaper because they don't have a viewfinder that's a swing out LCD display or something. The next thing you're going to look at is it a single CCD or is it a 3 CCD chip camera? And of course, a 3 CCD camera is better than a single CCD. It's better at picking up light. Each CCD can be focused for a specific wavelength of light. The other thing is the size of the CCD. Let's say I've got this DCR HC30 by Sony. It's a little palm camera, or it fits about in the palm of your hand almost. And it's got a 1/6-inch CCD. And Sony likes to claim, well, through our technology, yada, 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 it's as good as a 1/3-inch CCD, which is pretty typical of most cameras, a 1/3-inch or 1/4-inch. This one is 1/6-inch, and quite honestly, it does do a pretty good job of getting color and getting good quality. The only thing, the smaller CCD cameras do usually get a little bit grainy in the darkness. That's their biggest weakness. Smaller CCDs means it's just not as good of video clarity as, say, a 1/4-inch or 1/3-inch CCD. So, okay, so you've got different tape media, but pretty much if you're going to buy a new camera, you're going to get a mini DV. I'm just going to say that. And next, is the CCD size. So you've got that to compare. Another feature that a lot of cameras have these days is a feature that allows you to take still images with the camera. And they have, like, some type of memory stick or something on the camera that you can use. to store those still images on. And that's nice. However, the still image capture is always not as good as with a actual digital camera. And there are some video cameras, higher-end prosumer cameras, that are reportedly do pretty good with a still image capture, acting as just a regular digital camera. However, quite frankly, if you're going to buy a video camera, buy a video camera. If you want a digital camera for still images, buy a digital camera for still images. There really is not a very good combo device that I know of, but then I haven't looked at the field here lately. There are some cameras that have a lens for the video recording and a lens for the still imaging, and they make a big production out of it, does both. If they're going to that extent, it probably would be a good dual camera, but quite frankly, it's not a good idea if you're just going to buy a combo device to expect to get good pictures, still image pictures from your digital video camera as you are from your digital camera. So you've got those two things to look at. What are some other features? Of course, night shot on some cameras, you know, it's kind of fun. You've got color viewfinder. One thing that I really kind of miss from the older Sony Handycams was a feature called Laser Link. And LaserLink basically was infrared AV cables. Real nice, neat feature. And apparently some Sony TVs and VCRs had LaserLink receivers built into them. If you're a big Sony aficionado and got Sony-branded TV and VCR stuff. You could also get an external box, which I did, and have that sitting on top of my TV, so my video camera can just output directly to the TV without any cables or anything. And it was pretty nice. The picture was crystal clear. As long as you got a direct line of sight, got them pointed, it didn't have to be exact, but close enough, and it would work fine. And I actually, to this day, I still, for my digital camera, my digital 8 camera, the tape track section is hosed, but the LaserLink feature still works. So I can plug in 1394 port, do my video editing with my editing software, and I get a AV out signal through the camera out to the TV over the LaserLink. So I do all my video editing in my recliner in front of the TV, and then I can see on the TV in real time what my edits are looking like, since it actually helps out quite a bit in the editing process. I see how things are going to look on TV, which is sometimes a bit different than what you'd expect. It's different on the TV than what it is on the computer. So, okay, so next up, after all this stuff, would be, you know, what kind of batteries can you get? One thing I will say, if you're going to do any kind of like making some kind of a show or doing video production or anything more than just home movies, a microphone really is a very good investment. It's probably what you should be spending more money on. Let's say you want to do some type of video production. You want to make a show, or, you know, do something a little bit more than just home movies. One thing that you really need to focus on, probably more than the camera, is your microphone, actually. The audio quality that you get with most camcorders is acceptable for home video stuff, but if you're going to have more than just your family listening and watching it, really, better quality audio would help out your video immensely. If you just kind of think to, I'm sure, hopefully, a lot of people watch the History Channel, and, you know, there's always all kinds of old black and white video, or maybe it doesn't have to be a History Channel, any kind of documentary where they cut back, you know, to video from, you know, World War I, old grainy black and white. Well, that's fine, as long as the audio isn't crackly and horrible, too. As long as your audio is crystal clear and clean, that your video can be horrible, but it would be tolerable. So that was a piece of advice that someone gave me, and has paid off immensely. There's different kinds of microphones you can look at, of course. You don't have to get anything too crazy. I picked up a Sennheiser MKE 300, which is a shoe mount camcorder microphone. I got it on eBay for about half price. This thing does run half price, about $150 used. But, you know, you don't have to go that crazy. You can get something a little cheaper. But, you know, that's something that I would very much advise that people look into before you probably get a better video camera. Another thing, if you'd really like to help out your video work, getting a wide-angle lens is a very wise investment. Quite often, the field of view is very narrow with just the lens that's on your camera, and that can make shots difficult to get. Usually, if you're filming, it's a good idea to not use the zoom as much as possible. Instead of using the zoom, actually get the camera up and close into what you're filming, and that really would make your shooting look a little bit more professional. The wide angle lens lets you get in even closer, and if you think about it, instead of filling the screen of your TV with a narrow portion of the view as you're doing when you zoom in, you're getting all that much more light and light into the picture, so you're getting a clearer view of what you're shooting if you're getting in there closer. And a wide-angle lens lets you get in there closer. The other thing, sort of a side benefit, wide-angle lens is sort of a natural video stabilizer. If you think about it, say you're looking at the world through a telescope. You're looking at objects on land. When you just bump the telescope, it really goes crazy, and you have a hard time figuring out where you're looking at it. You know, the slightest movement really makes it look real jerky. If you look at the wider your field of view is, the less jerky it is, because there's just everything's in the picture. And with a wide-angle lens on your camera, it helps to stabilize your video naturally. So that's a side benefit that I was kind of surprised to learn that when I was first getting into video. It's kind of interesting. Another thing that to if you're going to check out video cameras at the store, something that you should do probably is check it with make sure the Steadicam feature is on, and be very observant to the edges of the video while you're moving the camera around. Look at look at the picture, and check out what it does when you move the camera to steady the picture. Some cameras have some real strange effects, and I had never even noticed this until I took a little video production class. And the instructor was had us all, record different things and just play them in class. And he was pointing out all these strange little defects in the image stabilization systems, all these cameras. And you really, sometimes you can get like strange rocking back and forth motions when the camera's steady. Sometimes it just, there's different characteristics to different Steadicam mechanisms of different cameras. So, and of course, I'm referring to the electronic Steadicam that's happening inside the camera, not like a Steadicam device. I guess I'll go into that next, which would be if you have a real small camera, to help steady it out, what you can do is attach it to a larger, object that is heavier, because the heavier the camera is, the less shaky your video is going to be. That's another thing to help you. And of course, I think if you've ever looked at a video mag, I think people that make steady cams are really prey on budding video producers, because how you use the whatever steady physical device or steady cam mechanism for a camera really means more than which one you pick or go with. Of course, Make Magazine had the classic Steadicam thing with, just some real simple pipes, galvanized pipes and some weights and stuff, or you can get real elaborate swivel mechanisms for several hundred dollars or several thousand dollars, to all the way up to, electronically controlled jib that moves around and has electronic stabilization that costs many tens of thousands of dollars and stuff, and becomes a project unto itself rather than focusing on your video and what you're shooting, you know. So anyway, that's a couple pieces of advice and info I've got for y'all. Hopefully it was insightful, or hopefully you just weren't bored to tears. I guess that's another twat licked. By the time you listen to this, I will already be in Austria, hitting some slopes and having a good time. I will return early 2006, and we will begin production work again on Kitchen, and hopefully we'll get an episode of Kitchen out before the end of January, I really hope. So that's kychn.org for that video parody that I think people have been enjoying. And if not, you can just laugh at us as we make fools of ourselves. Also, the Packet Sniffers, another project I'm involved in, packetsniffers.org. So anyway, I've been DOSMan, and I'm Mickey Green.
A mean guy with fire in their eyes, known by nature. Yeah.